When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're about to listen to a podcast full of wonder, excitement, and discovery. It's time for an adventure through Odyssey. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Adventures Through Odyssey podcast, Odyssey Revisited. I'm Will here with John. We're finally doing another album episode. I didn't know we still did these. It's been a hot minute, but we're going to start off with Over the Airways. Kids Radio puts together a bunch of shows involving adaptations and parables that deal with the good life, with living a good life.
I mean, I feel like we've talked about like them bring like having brought this like, oh, like they're going to bring this. But like the problem is we talked about this episode a lot when we talked about them bringing back Kids Radio, the first, like having the first episode about Kids Radio.
It is similar. I will say this. I don't dislike this episode. However, no. We had like the Adventures in Odyssey, Adventures in the New Testament case. And I seem to recall this one was just in the CD player a lot. And as a kid, I was always into more the actual Adventures in Odyssey, not the let's do a Western version of a Bible story.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was like the original or like, right, Adventures in the New Testament. I can't remember which disc it was, but I do remember this one came up a lot. There's the famous, I mean, this is the famous one of Lucy Cunningham Schultz, which is probably...
No, that's the big broadcast. That is not this episode.
Huh? Oh, okay, right. This is a second one. Maybe that's why. Right. I was thinking this is a big broadcast. I'm like, I feel like we already talked about the big broadcast.
Yeah, so this is the one that does the Western parable.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimmy and Donna mowing the lawn, which always baffled me. So we were doing these fictional stories, and then suddenly we redo that parable about the vineyard with just Jimmy and Donna. As if everyone in Odyssey knows Jimmy and Donna so well, this is going to play as a super hilarious joke.
Yeah. I feel like... It's weird, right? Because it's the two parables, mainly.
Yes.
And it's the George, Jimmy, and Donna one, which is, like, very strict. But, right, I got the idea that it's still a kids' radio broadcast of just this story, even though they're using the real names.
Yes.
The Western one is so, like, it's almost, like, weird to me, because it's kind of a dark ending, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like,
I mean, that's how the parable ends, but I do.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying, I think if you're going to tell it, it's like, that's how you have to tell the parable. It's just like, it's so funny to me because it's like so early in Odyssey's run and we're like, we're doing this parable.
I mean, again, I like that they do lesser known Bible stories, but that parable was also one of the ones they performed at the 30th anniversary show on the cruise.
Yeah, I wonder if someone just really likes that parable.
Right. Well, also,
weird because it's a little bit of a not violent parable, but it's a parable that definitely is more like, oh, so God came and like kicked them out.
Well, right. I also think it's a long segment, and I think that cruise episode was designed in case certain actors couldn't make it, we could just because it's a lot of skits. So,
that's fair.
But yeah, no. I think that's the other thing. The Western segment is so long, and I, in general, do not like Western episodes of TV shows.
Yeah.
I feel like they're becoming less common now, but like when we were kids, there was always like that one, we go to a dude ranch and it turns into an Old West adventure episode.
I mean, I like the Winnie the Pooh Western episodes.
Okay, well, I don't know if that counts, but I'm trying to think if there is a Western episode I liked. Eh, that one from this last season of Futurama was really good, but...
Okay. You were talking about kids episodes.
Oh, well, it's animated.
Okay, let's keep going.
Okay, you're right. But anyway, hopefully you got what I meant. All right, so here's kind of an interesting one to me. Train ride. When a former nemesis of Eugene's is seemingly killed in a train accident, Eugene is blamed. Wit helps solve the mystery to clear Eugene.
I remember being so confused by this episode as a kid.
I would say this.
My wonder is why it didn't go in an album and it went in the lost episodes.
Well, I will tell you why in a second. So, yes, I agree. This has, like, almost an old school radio play vibe, but a very isolated radio play. Like, there's context we're missing or something.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what happened. So, I don't know if you remember, but we also had the Odyssey Classics Maze of Mysteries box set.
Yeah, I remember that's where it was on.
Right, and the whole big deal was never before released episode. So apparently because the episode's kind of dark, people look like they're getting pushed off of trains, that kind of thing. They didn't release it, but then they did put it on the Lost episodes. And I still stand by the Lost episode should have had a quick introduction explaining why the episode wasn't available up until now.
I agree.
So.
It actually is kind of like a classic mystery sort of thing. Like, but I think the problem is, I don't know, kids, like, it's like you're doing stuff like the Mystery of Reading Jail.
The Ballad of Reading Jail, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it goes into, like, a British person would know this.
Yeah.
And then so quickly at the end, it's like, oh, it was, like, actor, so it's like, oh, I guess he's still alive, but they're playing it out for a little bit, and then it also then goes to, like, then Wit also set them up, and they're like, what, murder? And it's like, Wit, it's like, we'll let him sweat for a while, but it's like, I think as a kid, I was like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah, so, actually, this is a good point. This episode would have worked better as an animated video or a live-action episode for this reason. One, the big twist reveal is supposed to be Lawrence and the porter are the same person, and same with Margaret and the maid.
Yeah.
And I don't think that works in a non-visual medium where they can just kind of say it. And earlier on, they mentioned Eugene has really bad acting skills. And it, again, Eugene screams a lot in the normal show, so that didn't seem out of place.
Yeah.
So, like, we almost need the visual of, like, oh, Eugene is overacting.
Yeah, I agree. It's not bad. I mean, but it's also like, right, the episode's weird because it's like kind of about like, oh, pranks are bad, but it's also about like not taking yourself like what do you feel like the point of this episode is?
Well, it says here the theme is pranks. See, to me, from the Chris wrap up, it's about breaking up the daily routine.
Right, which is weird, though, right? Because I wonder if that's another thing, too, where I think they wrote this episode because they're like, oh, this is a fun mystery idea. And it's supposed to be like, yeah, like, you can do stuff to, like, mix things up. But it is weird because it also is, like, I could see kids being like, but they were, like, lying and, like...
Exactly.
Doing wrong things. I mean, it made me... to be honest with you, the episode that just came out about the... the alibis.
Yes.
Very much made me think of this episode.
I very much agree.
I feel like this is like the better... Trainwreck is the better written episode, I think.
Yeah.
Like in terms of a mystery. But I think alibis is kind of like... easier for a kid to understand and has the better message at the end.
Yes, I agree. Although, if Odyssey ever wanted to do, like, a themed escape room, this is the episode you draw from.
Yeah.
If you didn't want to, like, rebuild Wit's End or something, but...
That's fair.
But no, I... Especially as an adult, I think it's a standout episode. Yes, as a kid, it feels like this was plucked from Focus on the Family's more adult radio plays.
Yeah.
So, all right. Muckraker. Lucy Cunningham Schultz decides to write an investigative journalism article about the shampoo from the Calvin Bloom Company and gets in over her head. So who do we blame in this episode?
I know. I don't love this episode necessarily, because it's, I also remember listening to this episode and being like a little confused, like what is, like who, yeah, who's the point? Because I mean, let me say this, it very much paints like the company in a very bright light, where I'm like I hate to say it, don't you think this was around the era of like the McDonald's coffee incident? Let me look.
Probably. This episode came out in 1991.
The McDonald's coffee lawsuit was, oh no, 1994. So I don't know. But it feels weird, right? Because it feels like that's kind of, you know, what it was going for. Because it happened in 1912. Sorry. Yeah. She was born, it happened in 1992. So it's before that, but I mean, maybe, because it feels a little almost pro-business. Like, oh, you shouldn't write, like, bad things about businesses. But it's supposed to be, like, right, it's a little bit of also supposed to be about professional responsibility.
Right, and here's the problem. It sounds like the company did what the government wanted them to do in the world of the episode. And, you know, just some bottles didn't get pulled off the shelves, which happens. I agree. I'm not trying to be pro-business here. I'm just saying the way the episode presents it is, you know, even if it was like the company cheaped out and didn't pull the bottles that had already been shipped or something.
I wish it had been something. I guess they were like, well, Lucy wouldn't write something about another person. But I feel like it would have been better had it been about like an actual like figure rather than a company.
Yes, I totally agree.
Especially because I really don't think, in all honesty, unless Calvin Bloom is like some small little maker in the area, do I really think that Lucy's article would get any traction?
That's a great question.
I mean, I think they said something like, oh, it's like generated like buzz, but I don't really think... Like, I don't know. Like, especially in that day and age, like, a school newspaper.
Right, okay, so that is the one thing. They don't, Lucy does not ruin the company, but they say their reputation is damaged because of the Odyssey Owl. Maybe this was based on some true story, but maybe that's the sequel episode we need going off the club episode for this month. Let's bring the Calvin Bloom Company back and see how they're doing.
Well, right, it's like, if this is, like, some big national company, if it's, like, a local company, I get it. I think that could affect their business.
Yes.
But if it's some national company, I mean, it's weird. And that's, like, it's such a weird thing, because you're, like, but, like, why suddenly the company's just, like, oh, we did what we were asked to, and she was a disgruntled employee. Like, why suddenly do we then say, brush your hands, and are like, well, I guess that woman has to be wrong.
Right.
Like, that's what I mean. It's, like, weird because it's like, well, we are taking this company just at its 100% word. And maybe there is, like, documentation they provide. But it's just weird. It's a weird way to do this. It's also weird that, like, it's weird that they focus more about that rather than it's being like, Lucy, here, like, do something like a practical thing. Like, Lucy, here's, like, what you need to do. You need to, like, check, like, these sources.
Right, because they make it very clear, hey, this woman's a little crazy who Lucy interviews, because, as I recall, earlier in the episode, Connie mentioned she had the same problem but just chooses to kind of move on with her life.
Yeah.
So, now, and because here's my other thing, and I hate to point this out, right, someone should have, like, stopped Lucy. And you know who that person should have been? The teacher in charge of the school paper.
Right. This isn't the episode where it was, like, some the skeezy newspaper, was it?
No, it was not.
Yeah.
No, right, so here's my thing. Even if they had a quick scene with the teacher running the school newspaper saying she had the same issue with the hair product, you could at least be like, okay, so that's why she printed it. It does feel a little irresponsible for her, especially because in later episodes we hear about how much integrity the Odyssey Owl has for her to print this.
I agree.
So, like, on one hand, yes, Lucy should have, like, been a little more careful. It does also kind of feel like Lucy is in middle school. There's an adult in the way for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not awful or anything, but it is just like, okay.
I mean, I like parts of the episode. It feels less skeezy than the environmental episode where the big businessman comes out and gives the lesson of the episode.
I agree. It's just, like, funny to me because it is just, like, they're like, well, we did, like, it's like, oh, as if a company couldn't lie about that.
Right, and look, maybe now the episode would have a little more nuance, but I think in the 90s they didn't want Christian kids suddenly becoming anti-establishment.
I mean, we remember that whole lawn mowing episode where they had to, like, change the wording because some adults were like, are you supporting communism?
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Next up, someone to watch over me. A man by the name of Grimm is following Jimmy Barkley everywhere he goes. Nagel tries to help him out, but when Jimmy discovers that he's not in the imagination station, he learns his future lies in the hands of God.
I mean, always like a big episode. I feel, okay, here's the thing. Big, memorable episode.
Yes.
I would say it always is interesting when you're like, oh, we get an episode where they did the exact same plot and they animated.
Yes, I was about to say. They basically because apparently this was the most popular episode of the year it came out, which, look, I get it, especially because it doesn't require a lot of context. It's a very easy episode to show to your friends.
Yeah, it's pretty good, honestly. Like, I think it does...
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
It does God's protection well. It does address, like, death. And, you know, at the end, I think it's a fun... It's interesting, right? Because they don't really explain exactly what was happening until the end.
Right. And it's a little high concept, but I like that they go for it.
Yeah, it's a very... It's like, I feel like what you're seeing at this point, you know, we're saying, like, this was weird how they did it, but they're taking a lot of big swings. Yes. And I'll give them credit. Like, I think the... Oh, we're going to do this one about, like, writing, like, inaccurate articles. It's like, well, that's, like, a big swing. Like, the train ride's, like, a big swing.
Right.
But, you know, I do think they landed quite well here.
Oh, yeah. I was actually half expecting this to be, like, a reference to a story someone told on on Dobson's radio show.
Yeah.
But, no, I honestly think it's a really solid episode. My one little thing is the episode ends with Jimmy and Wit in the hospital, not Jimmy and Jimmy's parents.
Isn't it something? I thought...
They probably went out to get food. I'm just saying.
I thought they go out and, like, talk to them. I thought it was that George Barkley is in it, and he's like, oh, I'll go get Donna and Mary. But then it does wrap up with Wit, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is a little weird.
I don't disagree. But no, listening to this again, I only heard this a few times as a kid. It's a really standout episode, partially because it moves so quickly.
Yeah, it's a real fast pace. A lot happens, and it all is pretty good.
Right, because I feel like there's an era of Odyssey where this might be a really drawn-out two-parter.
Yeah, and where, like, the middle reveal is that, like, I'm in the hospital. Dun, 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 dun.
Exactly. Then it's like Jimmy racing to get back to his corporal form or something.
Yeah.
So, but no, I definitely agree. So, no, I think it's a good episode. I'm surprised they haven't tried to do it again, because again, apparently it's so popular. But now we've got all the legacy episodes on the app, which, you know, I didn't mention this last week, on the roundup, but I think the rise of legacy episodes might have to do with now you can stream everything.
Well, so I think I mentioned that briefly. I think that's a huge thing.
Right, where, you know, now it's not, oh, we don't need to remake someone to watch over me. We can do a sequel episode to it because we can just tell them go watch the original.
Yeah, and you see that with the comics, right? Like, the comics are just like, watch this episode. And you can do that because the episode is, you don't have to wait for it to come on the radio or run to the store.
Exactly.
Buy it. It's in this app that you're reading this thing in, or it's on this app you're listening to this episode on.
Yeah. Now, maybe that is a good sequel episode to do. Jimmy comes back, hits his head at Wit's End, and he and Nagel team up for another adventure.
Wow.
Oh, no. Not again.
Well, I feel like that would undermine this episode.
That's probably true. All right. The Second Coming. After reading a book, Melanie Jacobs believes she knows the exact date of Christ's return.
I mean, okay, another big swing, but I get it. Because stuff like this, I think, was more publicized.
Yes.
In the 90s, like, and the 80s. I mean, people have been trying to guess for, like, really long time, but I do think there was like a lot of notable cases.
Right, I feel like the last time anyone the mass really thought it was going to happen was in 2012.
Yeah, well, but, and there was 2000, and yeah,
right. So I would say this, actually, going back and listening to this episode for the first time in a while, there's a lot of good stuff in it. I think a lot of, you know, like Wit talks about, you know, then I was a little, always a little nervous about the Second Coming, but then I thought about what that actually meant being nervous about and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do understand Robin being a little freaked out at how enthusiastic Melanie is, because, look, when you're a teenager, it's a little odd that your younger sister is camping out in the backyard waiting for Jesus.
I mean, I think it's funny. They do take the very funny premise at the beginning, where they're, like, running around because of the posters.
Yes. No, that's good.
Like, that's pretty funny. Yeah, that, which is a funny premise where they're like, this is just so ridiculous. But I right, the Wit thing, it's like, right? It's like the Second Coming's not a bad thing.
Right.
But it's also like, you can't guess it.
Right. And look, warning, the following moment of this podcast is going to get the tiniest bit blue.
No.
No, I'm just saying, if you go to Christian TikTok, there is a disturbing amount of people who make jokes about, what if Jesus comes back before I get married? And that kind of thing. It's like,
Really?
Is this a...
Okay.
What? It's a real thing.
Well, that's kind of ridiculous. Like, what? Do they think, so, because they want to get married? Or do you think they're upset? Or like,
I think they want to get married, and I don't know. It feels like the whole... So here's the problem. A lot of them are comedy channels, but then they also post serious stuff. So it's always like, I broke up with a boy because he didn't worship the right way. And it's like, is that a joke? Is it not a joke? I don't know. Because if that's the reason you broke up with a boy, you might need to look at your priorities. And I know we just lost a lot of listeners by me saying that. But also, I grew up Presbyterian, so we don't raise our hands during worship.
Okay.
We also have a funeral dirge of the Lord's Prayer, but that's just our church.
Our church has it too.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. And you go to Tim Keller's church.
I don't go to Tim Keller's church. We're looking at churches.
Okay. Don't go to Tim Keller's church looking for John, although he will sign autographs.
I won't sign an autograph.
He will, especially if you bring him a Sheba.
Okay. I feel like I'd be confused.
That's probably true. Anyway, go ahead.
No, keep going.
Anyway, back to the point of the episode. I think, especially for kids, this is a really good episode about the Second Coming, because I'm just going to say it. I think sometimes when you talk about the Second Coming and heaven and the end of the world to kids, let's say under the age of 10, it's very easy to make it sound kind of scary.
Yeah.
Now, we also had a Bible study teacher at my old church for the elementary school kids who was a little intense about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
A little bit, yeah.
So maybe that's part of it. Like, I never had like horrifying memories, but it was always like, oh, that was a bit of a shaking Bible study and probably not in the way it should have been. But
yeah. Which, Yeah, it's, sometimes you need a shaking Bible study, but I mean, here's the thing. I think it's interesting to have an episode about this in a children's show, but it's probably like, right, children hear about this.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's the end of the world.
Right. And I think, I do think, one, it helps open the door to conversation. So
it's because I do feel like Odyssey used to do more current event episodes, but I feel like the atmosphere is so different now, both religiously and politically, that they just won't do that anymore. Like, they're not going to do an episode addressing some of these issues, that probably because people in Focus on the Family themselves are divided about some of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like where the... And so they're probably like, well, we can't do that because that is going to upset people. I mean, I'm sure there were some Odyssey listeners who were upset by this, but I feel like, right, it's a little like upset about like, oh, you're saying like the Second Coming people are wrong, or like you're saying this or that. You're saying this positivity stuff is wrong.
Right.
But it's.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. No, there's definitely a lot to be said about that episode. Again, I think it's a really good... If someone were to ask me, what are 10 Odyssey episodes to talk about difficult subjects, I'd probably put this one in there, because I know for a lot of people, The Second Coming probably isn't a difficult subject, but I feel like if you're under the age of 12, it is.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, last episode, Emotional Baggage. Connie is upset her aunt is coming, the aunt who introduced her father to the woman he later married. Whit helps Connie realize that she should hand all of her problems over to God. Okay, first thing. I like the message of this episode. Connie has a legitimate reason to be upset here.
Yeah, honestly. Like, right. It's like, and she's in high school.
Yes.
High school and legitimate reason. Absolutely fine. Even not in high school, there is a legitimate reason for this.
Yeah, so here's the thing. We do learn in later episodes, Connie's dad is a little bit of a player.
Yeah.
So the implication could totally be this would have happened eventually, but
I feel like it's weird. In my head, I had no like. Okay, when I was re-listening, I was like, "Wait, what episode is this?" When I was like, and like, even when I was reading the description, it's like, okay, like this one, and I'm like, I remember this episode if someone told me this episode existed.
Right.
But it's like, it's not a bad episode, but it's just, especially because you're having like an outside character, right? It's a little forgettable.
I mean, it has the Bricks and Feathers game.
That's true.
Which is kind of the moment. Okay. Which we'll get back to that in a second. So, well, really, that's the whole highlight of the episode. But yeah, so I was sitting here the whole thing thinking, right, you need to learn to forgive. However, you know, if I were Whit, the moment Connie tells me that part of the story, it is kind of, well, I get it. My question is, and I guess here's where I'm struggling, why doesn't Connie just tell her mom that? Like, I understand they wouldn't gain anything from that, and for all we know, in the real world context of what happened, Heather introduced Connie's dad to the woman he left her mother for another reason, nothing romantic.
Yeah.
But...
Well, okay, here's the thing. I do remember the Bricks and Feathers well, and that actually is a very good, memorable part. But I think if you had asked me, John, like, before I had re-listened, like, John, what was the Bricks and Feathers, what, like, spurred the Bricks and Feathers situation? I probably would have been like,
yeah.
I don't know if I could have pulled that. Because it is, like, a first half of the episode thing, almost. Because the ending is like Whit being like, you've been holding onto these bricks, and then like there's not like a resolution where she actually goes there and talks to her, is there?
No. And I think that is the one thing. If this episode had been written today, they probably would have either had that reconciling scene or at least made it clearer that Connie, or like made some point that, oh, Connie thought this, they were introduced in a romantic way, but it just turned out they were at the same dinner party and Heather got caught in the crossfire.
Right, but I mean, I like that they don't do that, but it just makes me like, because it's really like, that's just like, they wanted to give Connie a real good, legitimate reason for holding on to this grudge.
Right, yes.
And it is, but it's not like, almost, it's not the focus as much.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the grudge could have been anything, because they don't really resolve or like ever bring up this character again.
Exactly. Oh, again, another sequel episode idea.
Tracy Needlemeyer's back in town.
Well, no, Tracy's the kid.
Oh, sorry.
Helen is the aunt.
I'm sorry, everyone. Oh, do they not even have Helen in the episode? Oh, yeah, no. They don't.
She has no dialogue. She's just kind of
present. That's why I don't remember.
Yeah, okay, so I did want to point out one thing about the Bricks and Feathers game, and thankfully the wiki points out, and I noticed this when I was a kid. So Connie has a hard time carrying all these bricks. Tracy seems to do it with no problem.
Well, isn't it that they bring, like, the one brick or something?
Right, but then the next time, Tracy puts two bricks in, and then so on. So then the episode ends where implying everyone's gone home hours ago, and Connie is still lugging these bricks.
Well, because I think Connie had to bring them all at once.
Well, right, but...
Still, I get what you mean. Now, let me say this. I just noticed this, and I don't think it's bad. It is interesting that it's Bill Kendall... And, you know, it makes sense that Connie has the last name Kendall.
Right.
It does interest me that June has decided to continue keeping the name Kendall, despite presumably divorcing Bill and Bill cheating on her.
Yeah, so I've wondered about this.
It is hard to change your name. That right. After I got married, my wife found out it is brutally difficult to change your name with the government.
Yeah, so that's very possible. I do wonder, and look, I'm taking a writing class this quarter and in school, and I have learned they do write very in-depth character sheets, so all these jokes I made about the WIT document may have been in vain, but
yeah,
it would not surprise me at all if they had not really thought through all of that when they introduced Connie in basically the fifth episode.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe there's a reality where they realize, oh, we need to figure out what to do about the last name thing. So.
Yeah. Sorry, right, everyone, I'm yawning.
Right. But, no, I agree. This is a fine episode. I think Helen not being in it causes a problem.
I think it just makes it less memorable, except for the end. Because I think it's such a memorable, like, final, like, message. And how, like, Wake gets very more serious than he sometimes does.
I totally agree.
It's like, you have been holding on to these bricks for so long.
Right. And so, I think it's fine. I just feel like Modern Odyssey has tackled episodes like this so much better.
I agree.
So, anyway, I think that wraps it up. Join us again next time for more album episodes, hopefully, or it will be our November roundup. We're not really sure yet. And get ready in November. John and I are like 95% sure we're going to go visit the Focus on the Family Visitor Center.
We'll see.
Well, Elizabeth goes to visit her friend and we just mess around at Wit's End.
We'll see.
What are you? We'll talk about this off mic. I'm Will.
I'm John.
We'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.